Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Stella Rae Herself podcast. I want to talk about something this week that I feel like is very relevant for myself, and I feel like for a lot of people in our age group. Judging by my analytics, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're around my age. If not, that's totally fine, but let me know if you relate to this concept or idea or not. So I want to talk about alcohol and sobriety and being sober curious. As always, don't forget to comment below your thoughts if you're watching on YouTube, and post an aesthetic pic on your story of you listening so that I can repost, and follow my podcast IG at Stella Rae Podcast. I feel like one of the major changes and realizations I had when I lived at home from, you know, mid-November to mid-March was just what a difference not drinking made in my life, in my body, and in my mental health. Living in LA, and this is not an LA specific thing, you know, I feel like it's just alcohol in general in our society is very normalized, even though it's so bad for you, so bad for your body. I just always think of a Canadian study that came out where it said that 2 drinks a week for women is the max amount that you can have without seriously giving yourself long-term health problems, and just how normalized it is to go out on weekends and get shit-faced. Alcohol is always so readily available. I feel like in LA, and just with the whole club scene and going out and, you know, just wanting to be social and do things, a lot of alcohol comes with that, and you just kind of accept it. And when everyone else around you is doing it, you know, you don't really think much of it. I think also there's this certain image that most people have of like an alcoholic, like an old man or like someone that, you know, needs to start their day by drinking, which I mean, that's totally obviously valid as well. But I feel like there's just this problem, honestly, where alcohol is just very normalized and binge drinking is very normalized. And even though maybe not everyone who participates in that is an alcoholic, it still has such a negative impact on your health. And I think a lot of people do it without really thinking much of it because, again, everyone else is doing it. So I've talked about before how I have struggled with anxiety and panic attacks. And I feel like because of probably the pandemic, it was like mid-2021. It had been quite a while since I had experienced regular anxiety and almost like agoraphobia, which is basically a phobia of doing regular things because you fear that you'll have a panic attack. So you start avoiding certain situations. I definitely experienced that in high school when I was experiencing a lot of panic attacks. So we've done a lot of deep diving, you know, to kind of like heal that and just kind of realize what I was going through at the time and like overcome it. And then during 2021, I started really experiencing that again. For that whole next year, I feel like I was just kind of stuck in this cycle again, or like this battle with anxiety, and it was just really hard to enjoy myself. I think that also mixed with the fact that I lived alone, and just kind of because of the pandemic too, like I just got used to doing a lot of things on my own, spending my days alone, and that ultimately ended up in me feeling very isolated. And I don't think I even realized it at the time so much, but now looking back, it's like, oh my god, bro, like no wonder I would like felt so bad mentally. But I would still, you know, try to get out and do things. But I do feel like most of the social activities that I did, like on weekends and stuff, was going out. I'm not drinking every day. I don't feel like I'm relying on alcohol to like live my life. It's just like, oh, like I'm going out, so yeah, I'm gonna drink, like whatever. And I didn't even realize like how much of a negative impact that had on my anxiety that I was already experiencing in my day-to-day. Because alcohol is a depressant, and while it will make you feel relaxed in the short term and calm and just like, you know, oh my god, finally I can take a breather, it spikes your cortisol levels. So that's why, you know, a lot of people, when they go out drinking, they're gonna wake up at like 5 a.m. the next day. You'll pass out really quickly, but you're not gonna get into that deep sleep. And because of the spike in your cortisol levels, you'll be awake early, or you'll wake up in the middle of the night and it's just so hard to go back to sleep. And a lot of people can experience a lot of anxiety as well. You know, your heart is like racing. And I feel like that's kind of how the cycle starts, because you drink, your cortisol spiked, you have more anxiety, so you're like, oh my god, I need a drink, like, let's go to brunch, let's do this and that. You know, it's like hair of the dog, but then it's like, it turns into more serious of a problem. So taking, you know, a few months off of really drinking at all, combined with, you know, living with people again and not feeling so isolated and just doing a lot of things to ground myself in my body and learning a lot about cognitive behavioral therapy and exposure therapy and just, you know, again, doing deep dives on like why I experience these things and what my own personal triggers are and like all this stuff. Bro, I am like in such a better place mentally now. And with that came such an awareness of alcohol consumption and how it makes me feel. Because now that I know, you know, how good I feel not drinking heavily like that, it's like I don't want to sacrifice that. Like I don't want to go out drinking. And it's like I knew that before. Like I knew like, okay, like I feel better when I don't drink. Oh yeah, I hate being hungover. But it's so much more than just like a hangover the next day, you know? It's like that cycle. And just, again, when you already struggle with anxiety, it just makes it so much worse. So I think a great example of this is where I was really like, wow, like, this is crazy, is going on dates. A lot of dates, I feel like a lot of dates in general are very centered around alcohol. It's like, oh, let's get a drink. Or like, you go out to dinner and drinks and like, whatever, whatever. And sometimes you want to pregame the date, like have a drink while you get ready to calm your nerves and all that. And I think cutting that out as well has made just such a big difference. The most recent dates I've been on, we've had like a glass of wine. I have just felt so much better and more clear and like in control of the situation. And I feel like then you actually get to know somebody and you're not like, oh, I'm just drunk, so I feel like I like this person, you know? And I just had this moment like low-key recently where I was like, it was before we even had gotten our wine that we ordered, and I was just like, wow, like I feel so calm and just grounded and good right now. And I didn't feel like I needed to, you know, have a glass of wine before this, or like, oh my god, like let's just get this wine so we can like actually start, you know, relaxing and like talking to each other. Like I just genuinely felt very relaxed and at ease. And then, you know, we had our wine and it was cute and fun, and like that was all I needed. So I feel like that's much more my vibe, having that awareness of just like how much a drink, like one drink, affects your body. It's like, oh my god, I don't even want to like imagine, you know, taking shots right now. And so I say this all this to say, you don't need to be an alcoholic to experiment with a lower alcohol lifestyle. And I think especially if you deal with mental health things, as I feel like, bitch, I feel like most of us do, let's be real, this world is like really hard to get through. Or if you just want to feel better, if you have fitness goals, if you just have like goals in your life, like alcohol really holds people back, I feel, from reaching like their true potential, and even just like reaching full sense of vulnerability in relationships. You know, I think a lot of relationships, especially, you know, when you're in your, you know, 20s, early 20s, I mean, but really at any time of life, I think a lot of relationships are kind of based around alcohol and partying and going out. And while there's nothing wrong with having like friends you only see when you go out, there is something to be said, I think, especially in dating, and I mean friendships too, but like there is something to be said for building a relationship like sober, low-key, just not being like fucked up every time you're around someone, or even just like tipsy, you know? It's like, I read this book on panic attacks and anxiety and agoraphobia and all of that actually like a few weeks ago, maybe it was last month. It's linked on my Goodreads. It was like a workbook, like it literally looked like a textbook that you would like get at school. But basically they just talk about how the main thing you have to do to get through a situation you're anxious about, or that you have, you're experiencing like agoraphobia over, which again is like the fear of, you know, basic tasks because you fear that you're gonna have a panic attack, is you have to do it. And you have to do it especially when you are experiencing that anxiety. And I just feel like this is true for so much. I tweeted recently, like, oh, and I mean, this is kind of different, but it's like the same kind of core idea of like, bro, once you realize that the feeling of embarrassment, or like, oh, I want to try something new, but what if I look stupid? When you realize that's just a feeling and nothing's actually going to happen to you, like, it's very unlikely someone's going to come up to you and be like, oh, like, you look so stupid doing this, you know? And if they do, like, who does that? That's like a weirdo. Once you can get over that, or at least push through it, you can achieve so much. Like, I just saw a TikTok yesterday of this older woman who, had a video like, oh, like, I just went to the gym for the first time and tried to lift, and it was so embarrassing, I felt so stupid. And then she stitched herself now, you know, and you can tell she's been, like, working out. She looks, like, 10 years younger. She's like, oh, I just finished a workout. because she stuck with it and pushed through that embarrassment and just that like uneasy feeling, she was able to achieve so much. And the same is true for anxiety and just kind of any uncomfortable situation. You know, I've talked about it before with you guys, how when you feel that, you know, like, okay, I have a choice right now to stay the same and create a different kind of loop. Like, oh my God, I always need to be, you know, reliant on alcohol to go on a date, or I need to like avoid this certain situation because I fear it for some reason. Or you can face your discomfort and your anxiety. It's like so hard, bro. It's definitely easier said than done. But you're literally like retraining your brain, you know, so you can take that, the new uncomfortable path, and the next time it's going to be a little easier, and the next time it's going to be a little easier. And before you know it, like, you have a whole new set of circumstances in front of you because you were able to push through. And I think that's also an important distinction. It's not about like, oh, get over it. Like, oh, get over your embarrassment, get over your anxiety. It's like, I'm going to do this despite feeling that. And that's where true like mental strength comes, you know? And when you can do that like sober, in your right mind, in your clear mind, your brain is going to reward you so much. Like, bro, that's really the key. You just get so like strong, like confident in yourself and like mentally strong. I feel like ice plunging or cold plunging is really trendy right now. I've never tried it. I do want to try it. Like, I'm not going out of my way to try it, but like if I had the opportunity, I would try it. But it's basically where you submerge. I have tried it once actually, but it wasn't in one of those tubs. It was just like in a really cold pool in the winter. But anyway, it's kind of like that. Like, that's a controlled environment where you are putting yourself, you're putting your body and your nervous system in a really uncomfortable situation, not unsafe, but uncomfortable. And it's basically teaching your nervous system to be able to relax in stressful situations. So when you're in that, you know, you're supposed to breathe deep and just, you know, mind over matter. Like, you have to be mentally strong to get through that. So yeah, I've talked about before how even like turning your shower really cold at the end of it and trying to stay there as long as you can, that can be a good thing. To a certain extent too, I feel like you just kind of have to be delusional and like, in the sense of like, think of life as like a simulation or like a game, kind of, you know? It's like, just be really mindful. Like today, this is so stupid, y'all. I was working at a coffee shop, sitting with my coffee, and my coffee started to cool down. I prefer using a straw with my coffee because I like to protect my teeth from getting stained because I drink a lot of coffee. I saw they had straws, and in my mind, for some reason, I felt like uncomfortable getting up to go get a straw because it's not like I was thinking this fully, but it was just, I felt a little uncomfortable. And I was like, bro, my mind thinks that someone's going to like yell at me for getting a straw, or like someone's going to be like, why do you need that? You have a hot drink. Like, why do you need that? I was like, bro, no one's going to do that. So luckily I caught myself and I'm like, I'm just going to go get it. And you have to like, again, put mind over matter and just like do shit. Even if your body is telling you like, oh no, that's going to like be awkward. Or it's almost like your ego, you know, obviously listen to your intuition. And obviously, like, be reasonable if something's literally unsafe. Don't be like, well, I'm gonna force myself to do it. But just in those, like, awkward, like, uncomfortable situations, or, like, especially if you grow up as a people pleaser, you're gonna have a lot of that fear of just, like, shit. And it's like, you don't need to have that. Or again, it's like, it's okay to have it, but it's about pushing through it, like, being mentally strong and pushing through it. So I think experimenting with sobriety or even just a lower alcohol intake is very beneficial. And that could go for anything, you know, if you're really reliant on weed. And obviously, like, it's different if you literally struggle with an addiction. That's like a whole nother thing. But if you're just kind of like in the habit of drinking, or in the habit of like that's where you go to de-stress and to unwind, it's like worth, you know, examining and just trying something new and just like seeing how you feel. Because yeah, I just feel so much better now. And it's not like, oh my God, like, I'm cured, I never have anxiety again, blah blah blah. But it's like, in my everyday, like, day to day, bro, it's like, it's so true. You need to work out, you need to get enough sleep, don't drink too much, don't drink period, eat good, drink enough water, like those things. And I think community is also a really important one. Like, you could be doing all that, and if you're isolated, bitch, you're not gonna feel good. Getting outdoors, you know, getting sunlight, all of these things really do help so much. And it just sucks that we live in a society that's so like dysfunctional and, you know, promotes like drinking. It's just so normalized. And a lot of people, again, it's like, I think a lot of people, like the general population, has this specific idea of like what an alcoholic is. And it's like, oh, well, I don't have a problem because I don't fit this image.
Just because you're not an alcoholic doesn't mean the alcohol isn't negatively impacting you.
And again, especially if you deal with anxiety, it's just like, bro. So I thought it was really interesting. I found this article about millennials versus Gen Zs and alcohol consumption. In 2021, 60% of US adults drank alcoholic beverages, which has decreased from 65% as reported in 2019. Compared to millennials, Gen Zs spent 40% less on alcohol, made 5 fewer trips per year to purchase alcohol, and were less likely to consume wine and beer regularly. So I thought that was really interesting. And then I found this article titled Why Gen Zers Are Growing Up Sober Curious. They start the article talking about this 22-year-old girl named Lola. She talks about how as a teen, she would like go out drinking and then regret it the next day and then like do it again. When the pandemic hit, she moved back in with her parents and her drinking came to an abrupt halt. Lockdown presented her with an opportunity to step back from ingrained habits and address her anxiety issues. I'm not anti-drinking, I just don't like getting drunk or feeling ill the next morning. I like going home safely and remembering the people I met, so sober nights work well for me. Experimenting with alcohol and drinking to excess has long been seen as a rite of passage into adulthood, at least in Western cultures. From an early age, often before the legal age, alcohol is embraced as a social lubricant, a way to have fun, make friends, and escape day-to-day realities. Few professional or social events are without some form of alcohol. But Gen Zers are taking it slow as they enter adulthood, either by not drinking at all or drinking less often and in less quantity than older generations. 26% of 16 to 25-year-olds in the UK do not drink versus 55 to 74-year-olds, 15% didn't drink. They kind of talk about this, but I also really do think that a lot of this has to do with more widespread information about health and mental health, as well as growing up with social media and technology. I've told you guys before about how my first introduction to Jersey Shore was in fifth grade when my fifth grade teacher was trying to prep us for middle school. And he was talking about, you know, cell phone pictures and, oh my God, alcohol and the horror of it. And he was like, oh my God, there was, you don't want to be like Snooki, like people taking pictures of you while you're passed out drunk. That is insane. And did y'all have to have like assemblies about cyberbullying and like revenge porn and things like that, you know? And this says part of the reason for the decline in drinking is that Gen Z appear to be more cautious than older generations, both in terms of their health and how peers perceive them. With more available research and open discussion, their knowledge is increasingly multifaceted. Google research in 2019 showed 41% of Gen Zers associate alcohol with vulnerability, anxiety, and even abuse. 60% of UK Gen Zers associate it with a loss of control. Also, drink spiking in bars and clubs may also serve as a deterrent, especially for women. 49% of Gen Zs say their online image is always in the back of their mind when they go out socializing and drinking. Bro, this is another thing. This is like my pet peeve. Also because like let me explain. When people tweet things or when people say things like, oh, people just don't dance at the club anymore. People just don't dance at parties. Like, we used to get down. Like, oh my God. I'm the bitch that is, if I'm at the club, I'm sitting down. Like, maybe I'll be standing, but like, I'm sitting. People want to record people in public all the time and make fun of them and have this video of this person go viral that they never consented to and that they never want, like, they didn't even know you were filming them. So what makes you think that, you know, with all these videos out there of like, you guys bullying people, not you guys specifically, but in general, that people are like, yeah, you know, you're right. Let's like dance and like make a fool of ourselves. Haha, yeah, like fuck all these opinions, people online, like people recording your every move. Again, like a lot of this just comes from more knowledge and education. Because of social media, people are able to be educated. I mean, sometimes like for worse, honestly, like not about education, but just like misinformation and like falling down certain rabbit holes. But people are able to learn about things that they would not have learned in school or from their parents or anything like that. So I do think that's a really positive part of social media. And I know I've learned so much about mental health from online and like following therapists and like reading and like, bro, we didn't learn any of that in school, you know? So I feel like you have to a certain extent, like go really out of your way to learn about that kind of stuff. Also, they talk about how, I believe it was in this article. Yeah, it is. How budgeting is like a big reason why more Gen Zers aren't, why Gen Zers drink less. Because we can't just get into the housing market like older generations. It's like, bro, why is everything like so fucked for us, you know? I also feel like because of this, and they talk about this in as well, because there's more information out there, I feel like people, for the most part, are less judgmental or peer pressure-y when it comes to like somebody trying out sobriety or if someone is sober. And there is so many other options now as well. Like, you don't, I mean, obviously you can just have like a soda water or like a soda or something, but there's so many mocktails out there and I just love how that is becoming like the norm. And then they end this article by saying, it's been very eye-opening to realize you can be young and sober and have very full friendships. And I think that is like, such a huge takeaway, you know? Again, like, there's nothing wrong with having your party friends and, like, blah, blah, blah. But I do think there's something to be said about, like, when you are spending your time sober, or at least most of your time, like, fully sober, you just have such a, you're just so much more in tune with your intuition and yourself, and, like, you can just assess situations more clearly. And again, like, you're just more clear in your mind. But what's really cool, this is not sponsored, I would love to be sponsored by this app though, is I found this app called Less. And it's not an app for sobriety, but it is an app to track just your drinking habits. So it encourages, you know, drinking less. There are apps out there that are a little more targeted towards actual sobriety. And, you know, if you think that you really do have a problem, but this is just kind of like if you're curious about drinking less and you kind of want to see how much you drink in a week, whatever. So you can set goals for how many drinks you want to have. Like, what's your drink limit? I put mine as 2. Again, thinking of that Canadian study. And also, this is so funny, I think staying at home too. I saw, I don't know if it was like a TikTok or a tweet, this was a while ago, but it was like, why does 2 drinks with your parents feel like 4 drinks with your friends? Yeah, so this has been really helpful as well. And again, just kind of keeps you mindful, because I know when you're going out and stuff, it's like, bro, like, again, if you're out, if dudes are buying you drinks, if you're taking shots with your friends, like, that adds up. And yeah, you can do these like hacks here and there, like, oh, I'm drinking water, and like, but it's still like, that's negatively affecting your body. I have to go tour this apartment, y'all, like, right now, actually. So thank you so much for listening. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Let me know what you want me to talk about next time. Don't forget to share on your story, and I will see you guys then. Bye, everyone.